1 Samuel 17. I think this is a passage that we're all familiar with, but it is also a passage I don't think we ever tire of reading, no matter how old we might get. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched in between Shoco and Azekah and Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, the next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as a host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former matter. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage of Scripture, the story of your great deliverance. Lord, we are thankful for that, Lord. We are thankful for the example of David. We pray that we may learn from him, Lord, although we recognize that we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but that we fight a spiritual battle, Lord, and that we can have victory as we look to you in faith, as David did. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see with this story, it is one I'm sure all of us are familiar with, and how this giant comes before the armies of Israel, defies them to come and do battle against them, and everyone is afraid and greatly dismayed that no one wants to fight him. And then we see verse 12 that this young man named David comes into the picture. And the first glimpse we caught of David was in the chapter before, that Saul, he had been rejected as being king, and Samuel said, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, that one of his sons is going to be king. I want you to anoint him to be the next king. And we find, of course, that they had many brothers that went before Samuel, and the Lord said, well, none of these are the ones that I've chosen. And they got down to the end of them, and there weren't any brothers left. And he said, well, you have to have one more, because none of these are the right ones. And he said, oh yeah, we didn't even expect you to want him. And David was out in the field, watching after the sheep. And you can think of him coming in, not even knowing what's going on, probably. And this old man is there, and comes and pours oil upon his head, and tells him that he will be king. And we understand from that passage that the Lord saw something that was special about this young man David, that he saw that he had a heart that was unique. No one else did that. Man cannot see the heart, but God can. And we see later on that God referred to David as a man after God's own heart. And so we see that there's something different about David. And where everyone else is afraid, is he comes into the camp and he hears this man defy the God of the armies of Israel, and everyone was running away from him. And he said, well, I'll fight him. And we kind of see where they tell him all that the king was trying to do to bribe someone to be willing to do it. And you see almost David's attitude that he would have done it for free, but he found out, oh, there's all this other stuff that I get besides that. This is a bonus. And he was really excited about that, and he angered his brother. But we understand that David had done nothing wrong. And he said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There was a reason. There was something to fight for. And he wasn't being proud. He wasn't being haughty. He wasn't trying to make his brother look bad or anything like that. But he just knew that something needed to be done. And so we see there's something different about David, that he sees things with a perspective that no one else sees, that everyone else is afraid. They're running to their tents. They don't want to come out against this great giant, this fearsome enemy. But David is excited. He wants to go meet them. It's really, in many ways, I think most of the people there thought, well, this young man is crazy. He needs to be committed. He's going to get himself killed. And we see how he comes to Saul. He says, oh, King Saul, don't worry. I'm going to take care of this for you. And Saul's a man that was head and shoulders above everyone else. And yet he was afraid to go and fight this Philistine. And this young man comes to him and says that, oh, I'll fight this man for him. And he tried to talk him out of it. He tried to say, there's no way you can do that. But David, just, we see that he had a very simple faith, that he remembers the times that the Lord delivered him. In times past, the Lord enabled him to have victory. And he just trusts, well, as the Lord had delivered me before, well, he can do the same thing even now. That he understood God to be the same God every time, and that he was able to help him. David wasn't looking to his own strength, but he was looking to the Lord. That he understood that. And Saul tried to prepare him. And of course, all the armor of Saul that he had, that David refused it. It didn't fit him. He hadn't proved it. And that he simply goes with his staff in his hand and five smooth stones and his bag and his sling in his hand. And I've heard many different sermons on this passage, and it's always interesting to see what people try to say the significance is of the five stones, of whether it's because Goliath had five brothers, or some try to give a thing to each of the stones. But I really don't think there's that much significance to that. It was just, I think that's how much room he had in his bag to put them in, more or less. And so he went, and we think he's totally unprepared, that this giant has the armor, he has the sword and the spear and the shield and everything else. And this is a young man coming absolutely defenseless. And we see that when he comes before Goliath, that Goliath laughs at him, that you can almost see, well, he looks out and he sees, well, someone's actually coming to fight me in the distance, and he figures, well, he must be quite a ways away yet. And then he gets closer. He's like, oh, he's a lot smaller than I thought he would be. And he sees that this is this boy, and that he's probably twice his size, and he's coming in with a stick. He doesn't even have a sword at his side. And he mocked him, and he cursed David by his gods. And he said, come and I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. But we see that David is not intimidated. Again, we see that everyone, I think, would think David to be completely nuts, to be crazy, not have any sense, to be wanting to die foolishly or something, but he's not backing down. He's not fearful at all. And you can think of this young man where he says, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, that you have defied him, and I am standing up for the God of the armies of Israel, that you're not going to get away with saying these things against him." And we read in verse 46 of how he says, he makes it very clear, "The Lord will deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That it wasn't for his own glory or anything else. It was to glorify God. And it is something that we see that he stands with courage. And when we look at it, we have the thought, well, David, that he would stand against Goliath, that is such an amazing thing that he would have that faith. But I want us to, again, to see things from David's perspective very, very clearly, because we see not only is he concerned with Goliath, he promises he would give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. And we see in verse 47, and it's quite significant because it is not something that we use today. We don't use these and thous, but we understand that the way that it was used, that thee and thou is always singular, and that you and your is plural. That when it refers to you in the Bibles, it's the same as they'd say in southern states, y'all, where it's everybody. And so we see that, and it says, "And all this assembly shall know," verse 47, "that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you," he'll give y'all, "into our hands." That he wasn't just going after Goliath. He had his sights even farther than that. That he was taking on the whole army as one man. And that thought of that, we see verse 48, "It came to pass, the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." That the thought that David's sights were not set simply on defeating Goliath, that he was going after the whole army, and that Goliath would just be the first to fall. And we realize, when we get that perspective of how great his faith was, that all the other people, that they saw this man as being unstoppable, but he looked so much broader than they would. They couldn't see beyond this enemy. But yet, David was expecting a great victory. And it was not because he had any strength of his own or anything like that. It was that he trusted in the Lord. He was fighting for the Lord, and he knew that what the Lord could accomplish. And we realize that as we look through passages in other places in the Scriptures. We think in the book of Joshua of how they had a battle and they were where they're driving the inhabitants out of the land. And during this one battle, we see that the Lord dropped great hailstones from heaven, and it said that there was more that fell, or more that were slain by the hailstones than the children of Israel slew. And you can think of that, to this young lad with five stones, that's like, well, to take on an army, how would he ever think that he could possibly succeed with just five? But we see that he was willing to just step out in faith. He was standing for the Lord, and I'm sure he didn't know all that would happen, but he just figured, well, I'll get started and the Lord will finish the job. That he maybe just thought, well, if I have to, I'll just pick more rocks up on the way or something. That he had that faith. And we see with all of that, that as soon as he slew Goliath, that the Philistines fled, because they knew, they had heard what he had said, and that they knew that they were next and they were trying to run for their lives. And it is something that we look at this, and it is something that we should never tire of. It is something I know that we tell our kids, but it is something that I enjoy remembering it as well. And it is something that we want to learn from this. We want to not simply remember it as a nice story, but to take application to our own lives today. That we want to realize how powerful our God is, that He is the same God as He has ever been, and that what He desires of us is to have faith in Him. And that is what we want to do, is we want to see the world through David's eyes, that so many times situations happen, circumstances occur. We see this, the way that our country is headed at this time, and it's very easy to get discouraged, that we think, well, people don't seem to be interested in this, in the Word of God. It's hard to keep churches going. There's not many that are being established, and really that God and His Word are not central to people's lives as they once were. And it is something that we can get discouraged in. And there's so many obstacles, but we want to see that, as David did, that there is a cause, there is something to fight for. There is something that we need to do, that when we see many people that that speak against God, that mock Him, I know there's many different books out there these days that try to mock even the existence of God. I know one being the God Delusion, where it's the author just tries to put forth that just to believe in God, that you're an absolute fool to do so, and that it's something that we in our evolution need to free ourselves from, this idea of a God, that we need to mature and not need that anymore. But we understand that it isn't something that God is a figment of our imagination. It's something that we came from His, that He created us, that He's there whether we honor Him or not, whether we acknowledge Him or not. And He desires for us to have faith in Him. And we realize that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, during the time of David. It isn't something that we are ever called upon to take up the sword to win a battle for the Lord. That instead we fight a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we have a spiritual battle to wage through prayer, through witnessing, through so many different things, that we want to make a difference to the world around us. And we see throughout the Scriptures that as we step out, as we seek to follow the Lord, that the Lord assures us of victory. We see this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8:31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And we see also verse 37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." That we can have victory through Him. You also turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4:4, it reads, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And we see the phrasing of that verse, that it isn't that you will overcome them, or that you might overcome them, but you have overcome them. The sense that it's, in God's eyes, it's in past tense, that the victory is assured. And we understand in our own Christian life that sometimes we don't have victory. Things don't happen the way they should, and then we read this and we can get discouraged.